Joining me now with a look across the news is Annie Haswell. Hi, Annie.
Hi, Sarah. Looking at COVID statistics worldwide, 38.4 million people have been reported as having COVID-19. 26.6 million of those have recovered, and just over a million, 1.09 million deaths across the world. But there's really ramping up on that side of the world. Looking across Europe on Wednesday, Italy recorded its highest daily rise in infections since mass testing began, with 7,332 new cases. In Portugal, the government said gatherings would be limited to 5 people from Thursday. Weddings and baptisms are okay, but they can be attended by only 50 people, but university parties are banned. And Belgian officials have warned that if current rates of infection continue, all the country's 2,000 intensive care beds could be filled by mid-November.
And it looks like France will institute a curfew.
Yes, they're not going to like that much, but President Macron said that now was not the time for conviviality. He said the virus is spreading at parties and festive evenings, and so a curfew has been announced so people will be indoors from 8 o'clock at night until 6 o'clock in the morning.
And here in Australia?
27,341 cases in total, with almost 25,000 of those recovered, 904 deaths. Today, New South Wales did record 11 cases and Victoria 6. Yesterday, it was 14 and 7. So at the moment, New South Wales kind of outstripping Victoria, but most of those cases within hotel quarantine and not really a concern for infection. Whereas in Victoria, there's been a bit of a cluster in Shepparton. There are 400 people in lockdown there, and there's been a rush on testing that's kind of overwhelmed the regional city's capacity. This all happened after a truck driver failed to tell contact tracers about his visit there 2 weeks ago.
An announcement is expected tomorrow about stranded Australians overseas.
Yes, thousands more of those Australians who are stranded will be able to get home sooner, and it sounds like they'll be going through Darwin because there's been a huge expansion of quarantine processing in Darwin. That deal to be announced after tomorrow's National Cabinet meeting.
And unemployment figures are out today.
Yes, Australia's unemployment rates has edged up from 6.8% to 6.9%, which means almost 30,000 jobs lost last month. Really hard to read these figures because then they say that actually while there are almost 30,000 fewer employed people, the number of Australians officially classed as unemployed only rose by 11,300. And the main reason for this apparently is that a lot of people stopped looking for work, with the so-called participation rate dipping from 64.9% to 64.8%.
And the future of Virgin Australia is starting to take shape under its new owners.
Yes, well, Virgin Australia's owners, who are a US private equity group called Bain Capital, have announced the exit of the airline's chief executive, Paul Scurra. This has deepened union concerns that Bain plans to gut the airline under the new leadership of cost-cutter and former Jetstar boss, Jane Hrudlicka. There's no word in today's announcement about the fate of the 6,000 workers and no assurance that they won't be turning it into an extremely low-cost airline.
Another vote for clean energy over coal has come from an international agency today.
Yes, this week's World Energy Outlook report from the International Energy Agency has stressed the need to transition to clean energy. The IEA's executive director said she sees solar becoming the new king of the world's electricity markets and that it's on track to set new records every year after 2022, whereas the IEA is forecasting that coal demand will not return to pre-coronavirus levels and that it will account for less than 20% of energy consumption by 2040, and that's for the first time since the Industrial Revolution. Due to the ongoing impacts of COVID-19, which is probably mainly cars not driving and planes not flying, the IEA expects global energy demand to fall by 5% in 2020, with oil and coal consumption falling 8% and 7% respectively.
While we're trying to hang on to this Earth, it looks like we're trying to also get space organised.
Yes, today NASA has announced that 8 countries, including the United States, have signed an international agreement known as the Artemis Accords, and it's all about setting the rules for how to behave on the moon. They want to set standards for things like lunar mining and how to handle conflicts on the moon's surface. The 7 nations that have signed up are Australia, Canada, Japan, Luxembourg, Italy, the UK and the United Arab Emirates. Notably absent from the list is Russia and also China. The accord outlines things like safety zones and the protection of heritage sites, which could mean the regions where NASA's Apollo touched down on the lunar surface. And they also hope to put rules around the extraction of lunar materials, such as the moon's dirt or water ice that's thought to be lurking in the shadows of lunar craters. You can't stake claim to part of the moon, but you can own the materials that you take out of it, according to this accord.
Thanks, Annie.
Thanks, Sarah.